The climate for tolerance has significantly shifted in the national discourse over the last year. Cities across the U.S. are responding in different ways. Patrice O'Neill of the Not in Our Town movement is in Bloomington Normal for a panel discussion and documentary screening this evening at Moses Montefiore Temple. In this interview with GLT's Charlie Schlenker, O'Neill lays out how various towns are coping with increasing hate.
I think the good news in all of this trauma, and it is trauma, for millions of people across the country, for millions of us. And the good news is that communities that have been prepared, that have been working at fostering an atmosphere of inclusion, are more prepared, that they're able to respond quickly and to talk to their neighbors who might be vulnerable and build relationships and make sure people feel more secure. I think that we don't have a handle on how deeply traumatized so many people are across our country. We know, for example, from a study by Southern Poverty Law Center, they were just marking how many hate incidents were reported just in the weeks after the election, and that the highest number of incidents occurred in K-12 schools. That's a really important factor, and it's not one that is well documented. We don't even know how our children are being affected. Where we are in the Bay Area, for example, we're learning more and more about places that that may have thought they were immune, places like Marin County, to these kinds of incidents, are finding more and more anti-Semitic attacks. Things like students saying, urging other people to do Heil Hitler signs, attacks towards young people where their students are confronting Latino students and saying, build a wall, you're going to be deported. I think it's causing an incredible amount of trauma to our children, to our communities. And so the good news is there are places like Bloomington Normal that have been preparing and are continuing this conversation about what we do to stand with each other at this turbulent time.
Why the elevated frequency in elementary schools as opposed to college or high school or just out in the community? What about... Is it the age and the lack of filter of kids and they're parroting what they hear at home, or is it some other factor that's causing the disproportionate increase in that group?
I don't think that we know enough to answer definitively. K-12 schools includes everything from kindergarten through high school. I think there are two factors that we need to pay attention to. One is that young people pick up what's in the atmosphere. Culturally, they pick up what's in the media. They hear it, they repeat it. And so they may not even understand the sort of bigoted things and the harmful things they're saying to their classmates, but they are hearing it and using it and causing incredible harm. The other thing that I think we don't adequately understand is how much these memes and this... this white supremacy and neo-Nazi messaging is spreading through the internet. And we know that is the main communication source for all of our young people, for most people, actually. And we know it can be incredibly harmful. We also know that from Charlottesville and the series of hate group marches that have happened recently, that the white supremacist movement feels quite emboldened and that they are organizing on the internet and they're trying to spread their message. So there's awareness really matters, and getting these things out in the open and discussing them with your children, with your neighbors, with your friends, it's really essential.
In the area of sexual harassment, we've had this Harvey Weinstein moment, which has had all sorts of spinoffs around the nation. Can you foresee a similar such moment, an aha, and I'm not going to take it anymore response in the field of hate speech?
I hope so. I think that sometimes people and people who don't feel the harm do not understand the pain. And when they don't feel it, it's easier for them to ignore it. And we're finally getting to this moment where men are acknowledging the impact of sexual harassment when they start. And I don't think we've seen that yet. We've seen media stories. We haven't seen real action that's going to make a difference in people's lives. We've seen a story about a big movie mogul who has harmed some actresses. But when we start seeing stories about the woman who works at, you know, in the office pool, and her coworkers who are men standing up for her, I think that will be a signal that we're really making a big difference. When we see people standing up for those same people, maybe it happens to be an African American woman who is called a term or treated unfairly, and people who are not African American are standing up for her, I think we start to see those signals. And it is those everyday acts that are going to make all the difference in the world, in our atmosphere, in our communities. And I think that's one reason we're so happy to be here in Bloomington Normal, because you've been practicing that for a while. And the young people in the schools are starting to practice that. And so we want to see what's happening here and if we can learn from many years of this work in this community.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Patrice O'Neill of the Not in Our Town movement, which brings us to preparedness and dialogue in the schools. And that's the focus of the evening event. How does one prepare kids to respond in that empathic, defending way?
Well, I think you start by surfacing it and creating a space in the classroom, in the home, in social situations, within faith groups, for young people to talk about it and to feel safe to talk about it. You create a situation where there's a trusted adult in a school, in a social situation, where young people can feel that if they're harmed or they're the target, they can go to someone and then action will be taken. Not just that they've reported it and nothing happens, but something will be done about it. When you start to create protocols where parents know what they can do and how they can respond when something happens to their children, the difference will happen when young people feel the strength and that they are supported for standing up for themselves and for each other. And I'm really excited to meet with the students tonight to see how that's working.
The task becomes a lot more difficult, though, in an atmosphere of stridency where the voices of intolerance are emboldened and they are feeling represented by the administration in its efforts to exclude minorities and people of certain religions from the country. That raises the risk of speaking out and of standing up for their neighbors.
I think that removing politics from this discussion is really important, and talking about treatment and how people speak to each other and the kind of respect and dignity that we're going to give each other, a really basic core American value, a very basic community value that that hopefully your town wants to spread and many others do as well. And yes, I think there's stridency, but if we start treating each other with respect and give people, our young people, our children, a model to work with where we don't replicate that kind of behavior in our day-to-day interactions, they'll start doing that as well and feel that they can come forward and have something to model after.
What are you hoping to take away from Bloomington Normal to use elsewhere?
So one of the reasons we came here is that we've been working on a project to look at, we've worked over these past 20 years, we've worked with hundreds of communities and watched hundreds of communities become involved with Not in Our Town, sometimes in the incidence of a crisis, right? Many times in the incidence of a crisis, whether it's a hate group coming to town or whether there's been an incident or a hate crime, and people call upon our films, our stories, our action steps through Not in Our Town, and we learn about what they've done. Sometimes they are places like this and quite a number of other towns that we've worked with for a long time. And what we've learned is that there are certain actions that are successful over and over and over again. So we pulled them together in a set of action steps or a criteria, and we're starting to pilot this program we call Gold Star Cities. And the idea is, Not in Our Town, Gold Star Cities, is that if you work on a plan together over a long period of time, because it never ends, right? The Not in Our Town group here in Bloomington has been around for over 20 years. And so I think their long-term commitment gives us a really powerful look at what can be done, what works, and the kind of commitment that's needed to really address something that is probably not going to go away in our lifetimes, but can get better. And so we're here to learn from leaders in Bloomington Normal about how they've done so far with these actions. Some of the criteria we've taken from the actions that have occurred here. Some of the criteria are new, and we'll be introducing them. And we're starting a conversation with some key leaders, one that we've already had with people on the steering committee, about what we can do in the long term. How can we create a more inclusive community? And I think the exciting part is that we're trying to create this sort of measurement that we look at, and towns can see where they stand across the country and sort of compare themselves, not individually to other communities, but the broad scope of how other communities are doing as well.
What is Bloomington Normal already doing, and what should they introduce?
Well, I think one of the things that is most powerful is this consistency. And we've watched a number of towns who we're piloting this project with and introducing it with. And there is a key factor that that is essential to the success of a community being able to stand up to bigotry and have some traction over time. And that is that you have to have the key institutions in your town, including the media, including schools and the city, local business, the libraries, the arts institutions, engaged in equal partnership with diverse community leaders who are vulnerable, who are targets. And this is really important, so that the conversation and the action steps are shared and developed together. And
so you must know your neighbors.
You must know your neighbors, and it's a really basic thing. When you start knowing people, when you start working together, you know, there aren't enough studies on what needs to be done to reduce prejudice. The basic study was done by Gordon Alpert many years ago, and it was built upon by another researcher named Pettigrew. But contact theory is everything. If we start to know each other, if we start to have stories and narratives about each other, our ability to resist the implicit bias that's kind of baked into our DNA becomes much more powerful. And I think that's one of the strengths of Not in Our Town here in Bloomington Normal, is that people have been working together for a long time, and this community has consciously reached out to communities who are targets, and it's had an spreading group of people who are engaged in this work, reflecting the diversity that has broadened as the town has grown. So it's, you know, it's really good. I remember when quite a number of years ago, when you had new residents who were South Asian moving into town, there was a lot of tension, and there seems to be an incredible amount of engagement on the part of people in the NIAC group to engage people here, and involvement and leadership from people who have now been here for quite a while. I know after the Muslim ban, when we saw the gathering of 1,300 people in your downtown performing arts center saying, look, no matter where you're from, we're glad you're our neighbor, and we want to make sure that people feel safe in our community. This isn't about politics. This is about people knowing that we care about you and we care about your families. That is a really basic human thing. And there's a lot to learn from that kind of connection and that kind of contact that's built over time.
Patrice O'Neill, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Patrice O'Neill is the executive director of the Not in Our Town movement. She spoke with GLT's Charlie Schlenker. She's hosting a screening of a half-hour film about an attack on immigrants in a community and how that town came together. It's called A Light in the Darkness and is showing at 6:30 at the Moses Montefiore Temple on Robin Hood Lane in Bloomington. A panel discussion with students from Bloomington Normal Schools follows the 30-minute film. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT.